This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. I have a very special guest. Her name is Rasi Bamigbade, talking about the importance of self-leadership. Rasi is a leadership coach, book coach, speaker, and author of the book, Lead in Your Truth and Heal on Your Own Terms. She helps corporate leaders lead their teams more effectively through self-leadership. She also supports authors with their book construction process from idea to publishing. Welcome to the show, Rasi. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Marie. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
You have fans all over, so already they're coming forth before you even come on the show. So tell us a little bit about how you came to do what you're currently doing.
So with the leadership aspect, other than the fact that it's in my genetics, because like everybody in my family is like in leadership roles, I always saw the significant gap of how leaders were showing up, and this is including me, in the time that I started to witness this in how we show up, depending on who is watching or, you know, or what we're going through in our lives, right? There's such a significant opportunity gap there. And in, so like working through Starbucks, McDonald's, Vancouver International Airport, I saw the theme across and I was like, oh my gosh, there's such an opportunity for more leaders to go inwards and do that self-leadership work. So that definitely lights a fire under like my work and what I need to do in showing up, actually walking the talk and also helping more leaders do this. And with the book coaching, after I had published my first book, I had many people in my network reach out like, do you do book coaching? And it was like 1%, second person, the third person. I was like, okay, universe, I hear you. I hear you, God. I'm going to listen to the signs. And so I started creating a structure to support authors based on my journey and things that I would have loved to have like during my writing my first book and publishing. And during the structure, one of my friends reached out, now like really great friends. And she's like, I am thinking of writing my own book. And there's like a few other ladies that want to write their book as well. Can you help us out? And I was like, this is just amazing. And so I was like, yeah, I'm just working on a structure. I'll have it ready on this date. And would you like to be my first client? So that's how that started. And then for the author part of me, like, so I've written two bestsellers and I absolutely always love writing. When I moved to Canada in 2001, at 13 years old, I remember seeing books on a table in the chapters and I'm looking at the books and I'm like, it'd be so cool to like have my own book and my face on it. And and of course, at that time, all these the self-doubt, like I'm on refugee status. I just moved to Canada. I escaped the civil war in Sierra Leone, and all these different things come up of the reasons why nobody will pick up my book. So that's when that idea was like activated. And of course, I had to do more work in a couple of decades to figure that out.
Wow.
That's how we got here.
I have so many questions for you, but the first one I want to ask is, what is the thing that your clients need the help most with? Is there a recurring theme, or do they all need different types of help as far as supporting them in their writing?
It's a really great question, Marie. It's the one thing that comes up, definitely self-leadership. Like that's something that it comes up like in my leadership coaching and consulting. It also comes up in the book coaching as well. So where I see this opportunity with experienced writers that I work with. So again, I get on discovery calls with each experienced writer that wants to write and publish their book before we even step into that space of writing and publishing. And right. I noticed there's a gap with their self-leadership. So key elements, right? So like goal setting, you know, emotional intelligence, cultivating healthy relationships. So there's mm-hmm. there's all these different aspects that if, as an experienced writer or leader in your community or leading your teams, if you're not working on these key elements, it's very, very difficult to deliver on your purpose, deliver yeah. on, you know, the mission and uphold your values as a mm-hmm. leader. So that is like the significant part that I see. And I coach my clients on that quite a bit, like through the book, the book writing process. Yeah. And then with leaders that I work with, there's a common theme of self-care. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and I'm sure you can relate to this, Marie, it's, there's that guilt that keeps coming up, right? Because we're so quick, especially for high-performing leaders and that are very empathetic and they're really hold space for their teams. They're always working towards, okay, let me jump in and put out the fire. Let me take care of this person on my team. And there's an opportunity for us to check in. Is my cup empty right now? How can I fill this up so that I can step into the world and do the work that I need to do? This is something that I had to learn as well. The very, very hard way, like very traumatic experiences that I had to check myself, look in the mirror. Hey, Rafi, you need to show up with a full cup and then you get to pour more. And I want to say that I am living that. And it starts with boundaries too, right? Those are the couple of things that I can think of, that self-leadership and self-care.
Yeah, I love that. You know, when you're talking about self-leadership as an author, if you're not fully in touch with who you are, like you're saying, what your message are, and you touched on this in your intro, that you are as worthy as anyone else to spread a message, whatever your message might be. That hinders not only your writing, but it kind of doesn't let the full message that you want out there reach the world. Because we're kind of censoring ourselves, saying, well, what will people think of me if I say this? Or, you know, what will happen if I do that? And it just takes a tremendous amount of courage, and that's why my show is there to be authentic, to really be who you are and to speak up the message that's in your heart. It's not easy to do. Being an author is difficult, so I'm glad that you brought that up.
Oh, it's hard. Everybody would be doing it, Marie, right?
Right, exactly. But I love that you support people in that, because when I started writing, I didn't have that kind of support. I wish I had. And I did learn all those lessons. And some of them I learned through my writing, but they're so important to learn. And the self-care point, oh my gosh, that is so, so, so important, because when you have leadership, like in your soul, I'm the born leader as well, you always just want everybody to be doing better. And then if they're not, you want to just jump and help them, like you say. It's like you can barely stop yourself. It takes a lot of practice to stop doing that.
Yeah.
And so that's a wonderful, wonderful point that you brought up. Absolutely love that. So was there a time where you have felt you were not really being your authentic self? And how did that feel?
Yeah, definitely. I would say, like, I'm going to bring this back to like my leadership journey. When I was in the first levels of management in McDonald's, you know that moment when you have like this deep sigh, you're like, oh, thank God this is over, you know, like the acting is over and I can actually be myself in this moment right now. And so there was always, you know, when leadership was like visiting a different location, so coming from like head office, or we had our consultants was like doing like a tour or walkthrough. We like, well, get all, this was like a thing in the culture, right? And I'm sure a lot have like shifted since then. And we get everything ready, right? Like we prep and clean and everybody needs to come in their perfect uniform. Make sure you have your name tag and all that stuff. And, right. You know, like when that will happen, like I just remember my stress levels like elevated because I'm stepping in this space where I'm acting and this is not a risk all the time. And it's the wrong message like I was sending to my team. The wrong message, the wrong intentions that I had, like in regards to customer service, right? So why do we show up this way, but not this specific way all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So it took for me to actually look in the mirror and start with myself, right? Like how I was showing up. And I was very fortunate to have a manager that I was reporting to, actually like a district consultant, that she showed up in who she is, like she was the same person, even when she was at work or you're like out like in meetings or work event, she was the same person. I was like, oh my gosh, I can be that person. Cause for a short period of time, like I remember holding back my loud laugh. Like I just felt like I'm just containing myself, and I received some feedback from like one of like actually a couple different people. They're like, oh, you know, you need to like keep it down a little bit and stay professional. So I listened to them and contained my laugh like when I was in the work environment. The only times I was like, okay, I can be my authentic self was when I was with friends and family. So it took like a lot of practice for me to really truly look at myself in the mirror and know that I am showing up authentically regardless. And I really challenge myself with that, especially in business too, like when I'm at different networking events, I really allow my personality to come through and just in those like key elements of self-leadership, because it continues to feed my courage, my confidence to show up authentically me.
I love that part about you laughing. I'm so glad that you don't hold it back anymore. I have a loud laugh myself.
No. You can hear it down the street.
I'm not all together. I'm Cuban, so Latins tend to be extremely loud. And I've had people tell me, oh, my gosh, you know, you're so loud. So I can totally relate with that. And there's nothing more wonderful to meet a person and you know, just have an exchange with a person who's being themselves, and you can feel that, because once you step into that authenticity, people are seeing the real you, and there's nothing better than two people connecting as who they really are. Then they get to know who the other is. So I just love all of that. That's absolutely beautiful. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to add to that another part, Marie, is like that vulnerability piece. Like I remember different situations where I felt like I was going to like cry, and then like I would let it out. And that was like the sign for me that, oh my gosh, this work that I'm doing is working, even in front of like my teams, in front of like even in a meeting, because I'm like, okay, I'm touched, I'm moved right now. I'm going to just let this, like, flow through, right? Just with the laughter.
Right. That takes even more courage than the laughing, I think. So wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely wonderful. And what I love is, since you're a leader and you're showing up as you, you are now modeling this with future leaders, for people who are, you know, who are going up in leadership. So it just continues as a beautiful chain of us becoming who we are. Love that. Very good. So we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And if you want to call in and ask Rassi a question or talk to her, the lines will be open. You can call 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
For the mom out there feeling exhausted, overwhelmed, and hopeless, I see you. You are not alone. There is light at the end of your dark tunnel. How do I know? I was you. I'm Carissa, an author and educator. Raising a child with a disability nearly broke me, but I refused to give up. Now I help other moms reclaim their hope and start truly living. Find out how at bravelyintentionallife.com.
Hello, my name is Tamara Miller Davis, and I'd like to tell you about my realistic and romantic novel, Despite the Buzz. It is about technology's influence and other timely topics. There are digital wellness resources in the back, as well as book club and discussion questions. The story is a colorful and artful multimedia piece, which serves as commentary on media's influence. Check it out at despitethebuzz.com.
Hi, we're back to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Excuse me. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Rafi Bamingbadi, talking about the importance of self-leadership. So what do you think, Rafi, is the main message you want to bring to the public today?
Yeah, it's a line that I always go with, like, whenever I'm introducing myself or, you know, chatting about leadership. It starts with us, right? There's so many different key elements that any leader can start from to build on their self-leadership. I strongly believe that it is highly unlikely for any leader to lead their teams more effectively if they're not going to work on their self-leadership. It's a key mm-hmm. component. So one of the key elements is like cultivating healthy relationships, right? Yes. And I remember when I was working at the airport and I was shifting from Starbucks to working at Milestones restaurant. And so I was going in from non-union environment to a union environment. Mm-hmm. And I remember my first day in the restaurant. Is like there's so much friction and like and conflict between the management team and the staff. It was like me against you. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's like I've never worked in this kind of environment. And cultivating healthy relationships is like something that it's of value to me. It's like almost it's one of my number one values. I'm like when I'm building on a connection, it needs to be healthy. And mm-hmm. when there's conflict, we address it. So there's this conflict that I'm walking into that I didn't create, but now I'm part of, and I need to figure out a way around it. So yeah. like a key thing that I started doing was one-on-one conversation with my staff, because I was like, okay, let me get to know them, right? And if you mm-hmm. think of when you're meeting a new friend, a stranger friend, in order for you to build a relationship and find out what things you have like in common or how you can work together to support each other, you start with that conversation, getting to know them, right? And so I sat down with like every single person on my team and having understanding what their needs are. And from taking that step, there was still some conflict, and it was where I needed to get clear on this is my role as your manager. And this is your role, and this is how we can work together. So emphasizing that message in every performance conversation that I had with anyone on my team. And as time went on, there was the conflict and that friction was being elevated, right? Like it was getting – sorry, not elevated, but it was getting pushed, like, to the side. And then also other managers on my team were getting curious, okay, maybe I could do this, I could do that. And it was really, this was like the key moment for me that I'm still celebrating up to today, is when I left the restaurant and I actually moved to Alberta. Like my staff like got together, got like a cake and like celebrating. And if you told me that was going to happen the first day I stepped into that restaurant, I would be like, no, not a possibility. There's so wow. much friction here and conflict. Mm-hmm. But it kind of like, it just goes back to like, it's so important to cultivate healthy relationships, be yeah. clear on, okay, this is what I want from this relationship, this working relationship, and establish boundaries, like, and communicate them. This is a line that you don't cross, like, and especially it's usually around our values, right? So if my value is that we talk about stuff when there's conflict, and mm-hmm. the other person is avoiding the conflict, that creates friction, right? Yeah. And it And then you have to, and then you have to draw another boundary and decide, okay, is this a relationship that I want to build on? Or is this a relationship that I can let go? Or a relationship I can work on at a distance? It's different during the workplace.
It's a little different in the workplace. Wow, but what you did took a lot of courage. I mean, and you don't see that so much sometimes in workplaces where your manager or your supervisor actually asks you, you know, what is it that you're needing? Or, you know, how can I help you? Rather than just say, these are the rules, you follow them, you do as I say, and that's that, you know, everything will be good. So,
that's
approach. It's a whole different approach that doesn't work very well. People don't take kindly to it. Very good. So let's talk about your book for a moment. Lead in Your Truth and Heal on Your Own Terms. That's the first thing that I saw when I found you. And I said, I have to talk to this girl because I love the title of that book. So tell us a little bit about your inspiration for that and what the reader can expect.
Yeah, so Heal on Your Terms, I'm definitely not going to take credit, all the credit for this name. I did bounce off the different names, like, with one of my brothers, and I was like, what is sticking, you know, like, what comes up to you? And I was very fortunate. He was able to read all my chapters as I was going through and reading and writing all, like, my different chapters. And what, you know, like, even the subtitle kind of like says it, and I'll elaborate more on that. And it's Your Grief, Your Life, Your Choice, right? When I was going through, you know, like, my deep grief and experience and all these different things that I'm like, what is this? This is out of this world. Why didn't nobody tell me about this? Like, this is what's going to be happening. And then I kind of always face, like, people telling me, like, oh, this is how you should do it. Or it's like, oh, 4 months is up, like, you should be better. And this is including going to a doctor to get a doctor's note so that I can get some sleep and get back to, like, my routine, because I wasn't sleeping well. And I couldn't have difficult conversations with, like, my team in the workplace. And I was in a very tough place. I was struggling and went into the doctor, and basically I was told, like, oh, it's been 5 months. Like, why do you need to, like, get a note to go and sleep and figure it out? And that rocked my world. I still remember in the doctor's office crying and, you know, retelling my story, because every time I told my story, I'm crying because I'm still in that deep grief, right? And so really, like, this is to help people who are grieving, and this could be losing a loved one, losing a home or a job or a friendship, and losing something that you love, right? Like, grief is in so many different forms, like, in our life. And this is me helping the people who are grieving to be empowered to grieve on their own terms, your own timeline, your own clock, your own terms, like, whatever that looks like. And it's your choice. And the other part to this that I say is, like, do it in a healthy way, right? And do it with love and compassion, knowing that, okay, now I know better, I'm going to do better. And when things kind of fall through the cracks, you're like, okay, oh, okay, that just happened. I love myself, so I'm going to speak to myself with respect and with love, and then I'm going to do better from there. And I found that, like, it was a lot of data happened for me in my experience, and it was, like, checking myself with my self-talk and not using, pretending I was talking to somebody that I love most in the world, right? Like, I wouldn't. Even in regards to that, like, in general, speaking to people, if I wasn't going to talk to anybody that way, I needed to check myself and reword that thought, right? Because it's not an action yet. It's still a thought. So I still have control over what that outcome is. So I'm going to pause there. So,
good. So, I don't know, this popped into my head, so I'm going to ask you, why do you think people, or some people, want to rush others through grief?
It's a discomfort, right? It's Because, so, like, I will speak from my experience. There's, like, I had people in my life who always knew me as a strong one, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm always, you know, happy-go-lucky, and I'm there to help everybody out. And then all of a sudden, it's like grief, you know, broke my world into pieces, and I had to figure that out. And I wasn't the same person, and neither do I want to be the same person going through that experience and after. And mm-hmm. I think it's it makes people uncomfortable. And mm-hmm. something that I share in my book is people need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, holding space for others. And yes. sometimes it's not saying a word, and mm-hmm. sometimes it's just saying, I'm here, I'm mm-hmm. here, that's it, and that's okay, yes. like when that person's grieving, or you send a message, hey, I'm thinking of you, and leave it at that, because mm-hmm. there's a common theme of wanting to make people feel better, and I think that it pushes the person who's grieving to suppress their grief, or mm-hmm. to push people away. Because now you're not helping me heal my pain that I'm experiencing right now. Or we just go into complete isolation because we feel like there isn't enough people to support us.
Right.
And something I did like out of my circle is I went online on Instagram, on LinkedIn, on Facebook, connected with other widows. Because I'm like, I need to figure out how I'm going to get through this. Like, I need a team. Like, I'm not going to do this alone. And I don't want it to do this alone because it's hard.
Yeah.
But I think it's that discomfort.
Yeah, I agree. Very good. So let's talk for a second about how to get a hold of you and your book and your different services, Rassi.
Yeah. So on my website, rassibjc.com, so that's www.rassibjc.com, you can find my social handles, you can find my email, you can check out all the work that I do online, offline, and I'm mostly like active on LinkedIn and Instagram, and yeah, so that's where you can find me.
So it's www.rassibjc.com. You can click right here from Blog Talk. The link is there for you. Click right there to see all of Rassi's awesome stuff. And I also want to remind you that this is a live show, but a replay is being created of it as we speak. And so it will be available indefinitely. So pass it on to people that you may need to hear this message. So is there one last thing? We have about a couple of minutes left, Rassi, that you'd like to say to a listener mm-hmm. today.
Yeah, I honestly, like when it comes with self-leadership, do your part in each moment to contribute to a better world for us all. Remember that it starts with you and more translate into a world with the people that we spend time with, the people that we work with. It starts with you and so much more is possible. Thank you for having me, Marie.
Oh, what a beautiful message. I love that. It's been nothing but a pleasure having you today, Rassi. And thank you so much. It did be Authentic Radio. Remember to pass this interview on. It'll be available indefinitely. And make sure to listen next time to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Bye for now.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.